our way to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. I'm going to read three verses from this chapter. All three words that were spoken by Jesus. And all three of these verses will revolve around the same theme. John chapter 14 and verse 15. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So if you love Jesus, you will keep his commandments. Thus, the proof of our love for Jesus is not in what we say. Our proof of our love for him is in our obedience to him. Look at verse 21. "He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him." If you love Jesus, Jesus will manifest, that is, Jesus will make himself and his will known to those who love him. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." If you love Jesus, then both the Father and the Son will make their abode with you. This morning, I ask you, how can anyone not love Jesus? How can anyone not love Jesus? This morning, from these three passages, we're going to take a look at a lesson in two parts here, and I'm going to give both of them to you right now. First, we're going to ask, why should we love Jesus? Why should we love him? And then secondly, we're going to take a look at what it means to love Jesus. What does that mean? So first, let's address this question, why should we love him? Are there any reasons that we ought to love the Lord? Now, I'm going to give you four reasons why we should love him. And in the next few moments, I'm going to give you a whole lot of information, but I'm not going to take a lot of time to do it. So you might want to write this down, because you're not going to remember all of it, because you're going to get a lot in a little time. Why should we love Jesus? First of all, we should love Jesus because of who he is. Who he is. Now, who is he? Well, first, he is the Lord. In Acts 2 and in verse 36, Peter said on the day of Pentecost that God has made him Lord. Well, what does that mean? The word Lord means ruler. The word Lord means the one with authority. Calling him Lord, the word Lord speaks of his deity. In fact, in the New Testament, the word Lord is translated by the word Kyrios. Follow this. The word in the New Testament, Lord, is the word Kyrios. Now, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. But in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, which is called the Septuagint, in the Greek Old Testament, the word God is translated Kyrios. So in the Old Testament, God is Kyrios, but in the New Testament, the Lord is Kyrios. What does that tell us? What that tells us is that the Father and the Son share the same nature, the nature of deity. So who is Jesus? Jesus is Lord. He's the one with authority. But who is Jesus? Jesus is the Savior. The Savior. In Matthew chapter 1, the angel comes to talk to Joseph. And the angel explains to Joseph Mary's situation, that she's pregnant, but she hasn't been conceived by man, but rather she's been conceived by the Holy Spirit. And in the angel's explanation of this, in Matthew chapter 1 and in verse 21, the angel told Joseph, she shall give birth to a son, you will call his name Jesus, and he will save the people from their sin. Jesus is the Savior. Without the Savior, none of us would have hope of salvation. Why should we love Jesus? We ought to love Jesus for who he is. Well, who is he? He's the one with authority. Well, who is he? He is the Savior. But who is he? He is our arbitrator. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. John said, my dear children, I have written these things unto you so that if you should sin not. Now listen to me. The goal is not to sin. That's the goal. The goal is not to sin. But then John says, but that if anyone sin, which is translated when anyone sins, you have an arbitrator. You have an arbitrator who is Jesus the Lord. Now, what is an arbitrator? An arbitrator means one who comes alongside of you. So what is the verse saying? The verse is saying that when we sin, it is Jesus who comes alongside of us, and as our arbitrator or as our attorney, it is Jesus who pleads our cause and pleases our case to the Father. Without that arbitrator, without that one pleading our cause to the Father, we have no chance here. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Lord. He has the authority. Who is Jesus? He is the Savior. Who is Jesus? He is the one who pleads our cause to the Father. But who is Jesus? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14 and verse 6. But who is Jesus? Jesus is God's Son. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, think with me about who Jesus is. Think. He is the one with authority. He is the Savior. He is the one who pleads my cause to the Father. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is God's Son. Think about who he is. How can anybody not love Jesus? How can you not love Jesus? Why should we love Jesus? Because of who he is. Number two, why should we love Jesus? Because of what he has done. Well, what has he done? He died for you and for me. In John 15 and in verse 12, Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. To Jesus, the ultimate expression of love is when you're willing to die for someone, and that is exactly what Jesus did for us. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 says that Jesus tasted death for every man. What did he do? He died for us. But what did he do? He shed his blood for us. In Matthew chapter 26 and in verse 28, Jesus says, this is the blood of the new covenant which was shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Now watch how the two come together. Jesus died for us, and in that death, Jesus shed his blood, and it was that blood and only the blood of Jesus that makes forgiveness of sin possible. So why do we love Jesus? Because of what he has done. He has died for us. He has shed his blood for us, making forgiveness possible for us. But what has he done? He has been raised from the dead. He has been raised from the dead. This morning, if you go to Muhammad's tomb, he's still in it. This morning, if you go to the tomb of Moses, he's still in it. This morning, if you go to the tomb of John the Baptizer, he's still in it. But this morning, if you go to the tomb of Jesus, you will be told what those were told who went there on resurrection morning. He is no longer here. He is risen. In Romans chapter 1 and in verse 4, the Bible says that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is what gave him the power to become the Son of God. And it is through his resurrection that you and I have hope someday of our own resurrection. Why would anyone not love Jesus? Look, why should we love him? Number one, we should love him because of who he is. Number two, we should love him because of what he has already done. Number three, we should love him because of what he is still doing today. Well, what is he doing today? Today, the Lord is still adding the saved to his church. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord adds to the church daily those who are saved. Anywhere in this world today, anywhere in our brotherhood today, that somebody responds to Jesus and obeys the gospel today, the Lord will add them to his body. Why do we love the Lord? Because of what he's still doing. Well, what is he still doing? As much as you can understand this, get your head around this. He is still our mediator. He's still our mediator. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul said, there is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Jesus Christ. Now, what is a mediator? A mediator is a go-between. Well, you got to give me more than that, okay? A mediator is someone who is seeking peace between parties that have become estranged. Well, you got to give me more than that. If you keep asking me to do that, we're never going to get done here. Give me more than that. All right, let me give you more. A mediator is someone who is trying to seek peace between parties that have separated themselves. Now, the two parties that Jesus is trying to get back together to seek peace is a holy, perfect God and a very unholy, imperfect mankind. Listen. Because God is holy and because God is just, none of us in our present sinful condition could ever approach his presence. But Jesus is our mediator. Paul says it's the man Jesus. Jesus is the one who is qualified to mediate between us and God because Jesus is the only one who was totally human and totally deity. He's been here. He knows what this is all about. Are you listening? Why should we love Jesus? Why should we love him? Because of who he is. Because of what he has done. Because of what he is still doing. Today, he's still adding the saved to his body. Today, he is still the go-between between us and God. But what is he doing today? What he's doing today is he is still preparing our eternal homes. John 14. in the last night of his life. Verse 1, Jesus told them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. So I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Why should I love Jesus? I ought to love Jesus for what he's still doing for me. Number 4. Why should we love Jesus? We should love Jesus because of what he's going to do. What is the Lord going to do? He's going to return. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God." He's going to return. What is the Lord going to do? Well, when he returns, what he's going to do is raise the dead. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. Jesus says, "Marvel not at this, the hour is coming when all who are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They who have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they who have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Do you understand that if the Lord tarries and does not come for a while, that you and I will be among that number that is raised from the dead? What is he going to do? He's going to return, and when he returns, he's going to raise the dead, the righteous and the unrighteous. Everybody will get up. Well, what is he going to do? He's going to judge the world. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31. "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left." What Jesus is going to do is he's going to return. What he's going to do is raise the dead. What he's going to do is judge the world. But then what is Jesus going to do? He's going to take the righteous home with him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17. "Then we shall be called up into the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." How you not love Jesus? I don't understand this. How do you not love Jesus? Listen, you ought to love Jesus because of who he is. He's the one who has the authority. He is the Savior. He is the one who argues our case before God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Who is he? Listen to me. He is the one who will either save us or condemn us. He's God's Son. Well, why should we love Jesus? Because of what he's already done. He's died for you. He has shed his blood for you. He has been raised from the dead for you. Why should we love Jesus? Because of what he is doing now. He is still adding the saved to his body. He is still our mediator. He's still preparing our home. Why should we love Jesus? Because of what he's going to do. He's going to return. He's going to raise the dead. He's going to judge the world. And he's going to take the righteous home. How do we not love Jesus? How do we not love Jesus? Let's get to the other part. Because the other part is where the sermon is. Why should we love Jesus? And the things I've just enumerated on, a lot of people get that. Jesus came into the world, died on the cross for our sins. That's, people who don't know anything know that. Jesus is going to return. We get that. But here's the second part. What does it mean to love Jesus? What does it mean? You still out there? This is where we trip, right here. This is where we trip. This is where we fall. Even, you know, folks who understand, yes, he is the Lord, and yes, he is the Savior, and yes, he's coming back, and yeah, they got all of that, but they trip up on what it means to love him. Can I tell you this? You better say yeah, because I'm going to tell you anyway. Some of the most foolish things I have ever seen done were done by people who were doing it, they said, because they love Jesus. People do things in the name of loving Jesus, and they don't have a clue even what that means. So why should we love him? We got that. But what does it mean to love him? Number one, what it means to love Jesus is to obey him. Obey him. We begin in John chapter 14 and in verse 15 and in verse 21 and in verse 23. And they all said exactly the same thing. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you keep my word, then you love me. They all say the same thing. Listen, our proof that we love Jesus isn't because we wear a cross around our neck. And our proof that we love Jesus isn't in the fact that you put a bumper sticker on the back of your car that says honk if you love Jesus. And the proof of our love for the Lord is not our proof that we love the Lord in some kind of other abstract thing. Well, you know, I've got some warm, fuzzy feeling. Now, I'm not against wearing a cross. I'm not against putting a bumper sticker on the back of your car that says, honk if you love Jesus. I'm not even against warm and fuzzy feelings, but none of those is the proof that we love the Lord. The proof is our obedience. Our obedience. If I love the Lord, when he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be condemned. Look, I don't argue with that. I obey that. I obey that. Because that's what love for the Lord is. When Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, I don't argue that, I obey that. What it means to love Jesus is to obey Jesus. Number two, what does it mean to obey Jesus? It means that you follow him every day. Listen. Loving Jesus isn't a Christmas thing. Loving Jesus isn't an Easter Sunday thing. Loving Jesus is a life thing. Jesus said in Luke 9 and in verse 23 that whosoever will come to me must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's a life thing. What does it mean to love him? It means I obey him. It means that I follow him every day. What does it mean to love Jesus? Number three, it means that I depend on him. Now again, this is where we slip up. Because what we have been taught since children, well, you pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you pick yourself up and you depend on yourself and you lean on yourself. Listen, we're too weak for that. We're too weak for that.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6.
I have to depend on him. Look, I don't have any strength of my own. I can't see. My hearing is worse than my eyesight. I got two bad discs in my back. My knees, I have destroyed my knees. I can't go up the steps. I can't come down the steps. I'm telling you, if it wasn't for being pretty, I just wouldn't have anything. Wasn't that funny now? I don't have strength. What am I going to do with my strength? It's all I can do, get to the car out there without slipping and falling. What does it mean to love the Lord? It means I'm going to obey. I'm not going to fuss with him because I know who he is. I'm going to obey him. I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to depend on him. You say, well, preacher, God can. God can. What does it mean to love Jesus? Number four, it means that you let him help you make decisions in life. God created us creatures of choice. We make decisions every day, and we make all kind of decisions every day. But if you love Jesus, before the decision is made, the question is asked, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? There is a problem, a situation, or a mess at home. Something needs to be done. What would Jesus do here? There's a situation at work. What would Jesus do? There's something within family. God bless family. But what would Jesus do? You let him help you make these decisions. One more, number five. What does it mean to love Jesus? It means to talk to him every day. Listen to me. Pour it out there. Pour it out. Too many of us think we got to sneak up on God. God knows what's going on. You think you're doing something God don't know about? And we'll pray all around the world just to get to where we want to go. Bless God, just get to where you're going. Look, I'm going to obey Jesus. If I'm going to follow Jesus every day, if I'm going to depend on Jesus, listen, if I'm going to let Jesus help me make the decisions of my life, then I need to be talking to him about all four of those things. About all of it. If you're in a tough spot, say that. I'm in a tough spot here, Lord. If you don't know what to do, say that. I don't know what to do. Pray for wisdom. Does anybody understand what I've been talking about for the last half hour? Stay with me. I got one more thought. Oh, how I love Jesus. How you not love him? I love him because of who he is. I love him because of what he has done. I love him because of what he's still doing. And I love him because of what he's going to do. How do you not love Jesus? But what does that mean? What does that mean? It means I'm going to obey him. It means I'm going to follow him. It means I'm going to depend on him. Listen, when I want to go one way and I know he wants me to go the other, I'm not going my way. Let him help you make the decisions of your life. Well, I just don't know what to do. Then say that. I don't know what to do. Well, I don't know how this is going to work out. Then say that. But talk to him. Just pour it out there. Last thought. Loving Jesus more than anything else is a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22, and that's where we're going to end. Matthew chapter 22. And verse 36. Somebody comes to Jesus, and he asks Jesus a question. Matthew 22, verse 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Stop. I love that question. I love that question. I don't want to fool with anything on that. Just tell me what the most important one is. If I do the most important one, I'm going to be good. So tell me that. And that's what he asked him. Verse 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Verse 37. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Loving Jesus is a matter of the heart. In the Bible, the word heart is a very comprehensive word. The word heart appears many, many, many times in the Bible. But rarely does the word heart in the Bible have reference to the organ that pumps blood to our body that's buried beneath our chest. That's not what it's talking about. In the Bible, the word heart is that inner part of your being. It's the inner part of your being where you desire, deliberate, and decide. It is that inner part of you that desires. Your desires, whether good or bad, right or wrong, your desires originate in your heart. It's where we deliberate. Well, yes, I should. No, I shouldn't. All that deliberation about the desire is in the heart. And then we decide. Every decision we make originates in our heart. Your heart is what houses your feelings. Your heart is what houses your passion. Your heart is what houses your thoughts. Your heart is what houses your will. Listen, our words don't start at our tongue, they start at our hearts. Our actions don't start with our hands and feet, they start in our heart. Loving the Lord is a matter of the heart. So look what he says. Verse 37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. Listen to me. In that verse, Jesus is not so much making a distinction between your heart, your mind, and your soul. In that verse, Jesus is talking about you, the totality of you, and everything that makes up you, that's what you love him with. And when you begin to love him with your heart, obeying him won't be a problem. You struggle with obedience because it's not at a heart level yet. Following him isn't an issue if you love him with your heart. Depending on him isn't a problem if you love him with your heart. So here we are, last Lord's Day of 2022. Remember when this year started? You were going to do this and that, and you were going to do this. Now, if one of those this or that was to obey God, this is it. And if one of those, I'm going to do this and that, was to get your life straightened out with God, if you're going to do it in 2022, you're going to have to get busy like quick now. Why would you not love Jesus? And if you do love him, what you're going to do right now is obey him. Are you here? Are you away from God? Oh, I can do it my way. How's that working out so far? All good? It's not going to work out till you get in your life the one who can work it out. If you need to come, God help you to do that right now as together we stand and as we